to a wealthy place. Experience favor in every direction. In this new season, I run, I do not faint. I walk, I'm not weary. I experience supernatural progress in all that I do. Glory to God. Amen. James chapter 5. Let's begin from verse 6. Let's start reading from verse 16. We've been looking at the subject of supplication in the place of prayer, and we said some things last week, which we'll likely say some more this week. This is the last week of our teaching on along these lines and of our praying this particular way. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you read on to the next verse, it gives Elijah as an example of prayer. Now, in studying this subject, looking at it from the angle of supplication, because you see, we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, last week, where the Bible says that praying always with all prayer and supplication. Let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. He says something there that is important for us. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to notice that the word supplication occurs twice, isn't it? So it's laying emphasis on something. About the fact that it says praying always with all prayer and what supplication. All prayer means there are different kinds of prayer. We just completed one kind of prayer right now. There are different kinds of prayer. It now says pray always with all prayer and supplication. And mentioned supplication twice. And so one of the things we've seen in this series of teachings as we take time to pray is the fact that supplication seems to be the major emphasis for believers in the New Testament. That when believers come together, that the prayer of supplication seems to be the major emphasis among all the forms of prayer that a believer should regularly be engaging in. And so we try to define what is supplication. And we looked at that James chapter 5 verse 16 that says, confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. It says, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. I think Amplified says that for the effectual fervent, earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Effectual fervent, earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Continue means unceasing or persistent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power of God available that is dynamic. Now what dynamic means that it is power that is supplied that can take care of different kinds of need. It's dynamic. It's a power, but the application of the power is dynamic. It means you make power available, and when you make power available or you create a supply of the Spirit, what you have created in the place of prayer can handle a variety of cases. That's what it's saying. So it says a fervent, heartfelt, earnest, continued prayer. Continued means persistent. So it's saying something about our attitude when it comes to place of prayer. It's not focusing so much on how God answers. It's not even focusing so much on scriptural correctness. I want you to be careful to see that. It's not focusing so much on scriptural correctness. It focuses so much on the attitude of the person doing the praying. So it says, honest, heartfelt, continued. Honest, heartfelt, continued. We saw that in the life of Elijah. We noticed that before Elijah announced there will be no rain, the Bible says he had actually prayed. So he made a decree based on the fact that he had made power available in the place of prayer. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passions. In other words, don't think Elijah was special in any way. He was subject to the same weaknesses. In fact, he was in a lesser place than a believer is today. He had righteousness credited to him, but you and I actually have the nature of righteousness, so there's a difference. Elijah was a man of like passion, and to prove that it was not a fluke, he prayed for the first time there was no rain, he prayed the second time that there was rain. He now says it's the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. It means that Elijah was directly controlling the weather of his nation. That's serious. Elijah's prayer had something to do whether there will be rain or there will be no rain in the land of Israel. Why? It was the example the scripture gives here by James of a righteous man. It says his prayer was honest, heartfelt, continued. In other words, his emotions were involved in the prayer. When it comes to supplication, your emotions are involved in the praying. It means it's something you are not disconnected from. is something you put in your energy. Hence, it is fervent. It's fervent because it's your desire. Hallelujah. When we started this series, I showed us the fact that, you see, sometimes one of the things that trips us up in a place of prayer is that we're waiting to pray God's will. And we've seen scriptures that say something else, but I would think what it says is that, you know, except you're praying God's will, you can't have an answer. No. The Bible says that as long as a person is a righteous man and the prayer is earnest, actual, and continued, the Bible says that tremendous power will be made available. In other words, the man himself is the one who is the source of generating that kind of power on the earth. Hallelujah. Elijah was simply exercising his authority in place of prayer about what he was doing. And because he stood this place, he was able to make tremendous power of God available. There was a supply. So, as believers, there's power all over us. Everywhere we look. Ephesians 1, that we looked at earlier when we were praying, from verse 17 says that, from verse 16 says that, God will grant unto you what? The spirit of wisdom, which is revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your what? Understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is what? Exceeding greatness of his power where? See, God's power is in my direction. See, there's exceeding greatness of God's power in my direction at all times. So every time we come together as individuals, wherever you are alone, as a corporate entity, there's tremendous power present. What we do in the place of prayer when we come together is that with one accord, we channel that prayer or we channel that power in a particular direction. And so the examples we have in the book of Acts, at no point in time did they pray a prayer that was just a prayer of faith, even though faith was involved in praying. They spend their time using God's power to handle situations and cases. Our power is for. So many things will go wrong. Many things will not go in the direction it's meant to go by itself. Except somebody is doing the praying. That's why the place of prayer is so important in our work with God. There are many believers that will never live out their full time upon the earth. Many that will never walk in their God-given assignment except somebody prays them into it. In other words, that God wills it to be so, doesn't mean it will automatically be so. The bridge between what God wants done and what is actually done is prayer. So we cannot overrate prayer, neither can we underrate prayer. Because it's so vital to our Christian world. Prayer is how we harness God's power to fulfill God's plan and purposes. So God is counting on your prayer as many other people are counting on your prayer. If you see a believer walk out of line consistently and stray away from the things of God, it's because no one is doing any praying for the person. And if you see a believer who is quick to judge, quick to criticize, and quick to get angry at people who stray out of life, you can tell that believer has not been doing much praying. Because if you have actually been involved in supplicating for others, your heart will be so tender that instead of gossiping and complaining, you will think about how much time you will need to invest in the place of prayer to get that person to walk straight or to align back with the will of God. Hallelujah. So people who spend time praying for others don't gossip about them. People who spend quality time praying, like Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4. Look at Colossians 4 verse 12. Colossians 4 12. We'll see some principles here. Epaphras, who is one of you? By saying one of you, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And it says, Epaphras, who is one of them? He says, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayers. Notice what he says. He uses the word labor for prayers. It is always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may what? Stand perfect and complete. You may stand perfect and complete. In other words, standing and being complete in all the will of God doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't. And this is one man laboring for a whole church. Notice this. That statement is one of you. So this man had a connection with the church at Colossae. He was a member of that church. It's easier to get results in the place of prayer when the person you're praying for, there's a connection. It's much easier. It's much easier. We saw the prayer of Abraham when he came to Sodom and Gomorrah about to be destroyed. And if you read that story in Genesis chapter 18 with Old Testament glasses, You will think God just wanted to inform Abraham. You will know that God was looking for someone that would pray so that the judgment of what they had done will not come upon them. Let me say that again. It was not God's will to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. How do we know? We can't know from looking at Genesis. We can only know from coming to the New Testament. It is the New Testament that now tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, and that God's eternal will. But that eternal will was not revealed until Jesus came. So if you're going to read Genesis and understand, you read the epistles and then go back to Genesis, then you'll know what really happened. But if you're looking at it the way it's written, you can never understand it. When God came and spoke to Abraham and said that, will I hide from Abraham what I am doing? What God was simply saying was that there are some things that are about to take place. And I need to warn Abraham, because Abraham is the only one in position to do something about it. So what did God really want? To destroy the nation? No, to save those people. It is always God's will to save men, even the vilest of men. So what God was simply doing was informing Abraham, giving him enough reason to pray so that Abraham could pray. But the challenge was that Abraham didn't know enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you study that passage, you will wonder that Abraham asked for, if they are 50, say, what if they are 40? Say, what if they are 30? What if they are 20? What if they are... Then something happened by the time they got to 30. Abraham was saying, forgive me, just a little more. But God wasn't saying anything. So it wasn't God that was speaking to the church, it was Abraham's mind that was eating Abraham. Abraham's mind wasn't shoot. Hallelujah. Abraham wasn't sufficiently renewed about God's goodness to understand that he could have gone as far as one. If you have said one, he would have eaten that on the spot. At least lots. Would have been a reason. And Lord would have been a long reason for God not to allow the judgment that was due that land to come upon them. Let me show you something in Ezekiel chapter 18, so you see one too. Ezekiel chapter, if I see chapter 18, okay, so it's not chapter 18, it's chapter 22. Or if you get chapter 18 and you don't see it now, 22. Again, are you there? Verse 18. Ezekiel 22, verse 18. And I sought for a man among them that should make up what? The edge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I what? I found them. Now, if you stop there, notice the phrasing of the Old Testament prophets. Because, let me say something quickly. In the Old Testament, particularly in the books of Moses, the personality and the identity of Satan was all revealed. So the challenge that they had in the Old Testament was this. Any supernatural occurrence was attributed to God. Do you understand? So there were many things that Satan was doing. They didn't know who Satan was. They didn't know there was even Satan in existence. That once it is supernatural, they attributed to God. So you read statements in the Testament that says things like, shall we receive good of you and not receive evil? I've never seen that scripture before. I create blackness and I found the love. Have you seen that scripture? Who said that? Isaiah. Is Isaiah correct? No. You won't know that Isaiah is not correct until you come to the New Testament. So here, that phrase is written in the causative sense. Let me say that again. It means that he's now saying that I sought for a man. Listen carefully. I sought for a man that should make up the edge and stand the guard for me for them. That I might not destroy them. Listen, if he's the one who's destroying, why is he seeking for a man? I hope you understand. Why is he seeking for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the egg, that I should not? If his own is actively destroying, why is he looking for a man? Because when he says he's looking for a man, what is the version of a man? That man will pray, and God will not come. So if God is always actively destroying, why is he looking for someone to stand in the gap? The next verse opens our eyes to see. See what he says next verse. Therefore, have I called up my word? Indignation. Look at what God calls indignation. That's his anger. I have consumed them with the fire of my what? Wrath. If you stop there again, you say, you never tell you that God destroys. What is he calling ignition? What is he calling fire of God? Look at the last part. Their own way. Am I what? They confess upon their... In other words, I allow them to reap what they sowed. That's what he's calling what? Or anger. What was the prayer meant to do? Bring mercy. James now tells us that mercy rejoices against what? Judgment. So what God was called, what the Bible is recording as anger and ignition here, is God saying, I allowed sowing and reaping to work. Why did it work? Not because I wanted to, because there was no man to ask for mercy. Do you understand? That was what Abraham was meant to do also, to ask for mercy, that the people should not be destroyed. In other words, as terrible as their actions were in Sodom and Gomorrah, God's character and personality was still, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm trying to let you see the role a man plays in the activities that take place upon the earth when it comes to the issue of prayer. When it comes to the issue of prayer. Genesis 36. 36. Let's start reading from here. Let's look at Jacob. I want to show you something about the disposition, because sometimes what is lacking in the area of results in our praying, particularly if you are used to new Christian realities, you know, as in, you know, I'm God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. I'm God's workmanship. Could you invite us to every good work? And then you see a CAC person who doesn't know anything about righteousness, who tells you that without holiness, you cannot see God. Who is telling you we shall make heaven? And it's praying, and answers are coming, and he doesn't even know scripture, but he knows how to supplicate. He knows how to persist. He knows how to be fervent. Because it has more to do with the individual's attitude in prayer than God. Let me say this. What scripture did Abraham have to pray with? Think about it. What scripture did Anna use? What scripture was Jacob using to pray? That according to pre-Genesis, chapter 16, verse 45. I mean, whichever book calls for the that should be what? Yeah, so I will look for that one as easy, because that's chapter, that's chapter 36. 34. So Genesis. I'm looking for that place where it was sold. Yeah, it's 33, I think it's 33. So I found them go. Okay, I think it's 32. Alright, so let's look at verse 24. 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed against him, he touched the owner of his thigh, and the owner of Jacob's thigh was out of him, as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let it go, except by what? Bless me. Now, he's giving a figurative illustration about the fact that Jacob was in distress after spending all night wrestling with the angel. But even though he was in distress, he still refused to allow the angel to go. What was he doing? It was prayer. I mean, was the Bible depicts it. It's talking about prayer. That Jacob was persistent. In other words, he desired the thing so much, he was unwilling to accept no for an answer. So that's what that means, that he stayed with that truth. He stayed with that prayer. And he was persistent about it. And he spent all night dealing with that issue in place of prayer. That's what it means. And at the break of the when the angel said, I mean, I think I've had enough. Let me say no, until something changes about me. It was Jacob's attitude and disposition that actually brought the answer. The Bible doesn't record anything about scriptures here. And every one of the Old Testament saints, but not because they were supplicating, the same principle is found. It was their attitude more than any other thing that brought answers in the place of prayer. Which means that sometimes when we say we are supplicating, we are going through the motions. There's no emotional connection to desire. There's no strong demand in your heart concerning whether you really want change in that area. But the Bible says here that there was something about this persistence in that place of prayer. The same thing with Anna when she was praying. In those days, the Bible says that they believed that it was God that would shut Anna's womb. So she started negotiating with God. She was even like, let me have the child, I don't have to keep him. That's serious. Let me just have that child, I don't have to keep him. In fact, if I have the child, I'll give him to you.
And that is that the way she was praying, only her lips were moving, no words were found. That means it was heartfelt. Did she receive that answer? Yes, she did. The Bible doesn't say they were there for that scripture they were quoting. Why do we have this illustration? To show us that it was their own personal conviction and persistence that actually got results. In other words, it's taking the responsibility away from what God will do to what man can do in the case of prayer. That's so important. I think John Wesley is one who said that it seems as though, and he was speaking from experience that I had in the case of prayer, that it seems as though God can do nothing for humanity until someone asks him. And the asking was talking about another, Father, bless them, in Jesus' name, amen. No. The asking was something that was persistent, that was forceful, that was fervent, such that God, in fact, I think it was one of the greatest evangelists who ever lived now. I'm trying to remember his name now. One of the greatest evangelists, he had more converts after the Apostle Paul. They said that record, he had 19% conversion and has stayed in faith. Nice, if I'm not there, I'll mention him. One of the ways he used to go into the bush to pray was this. He said he will start praying. He will find himself saying, not that he wanted to, Lord, you don't think that souls will not be one in this place to you? You don't think there's anybody around there who will not receive the gospel to you? Well, as though he was negotiating with God. He was praying this place to prayer. And then he would quote a few scriptures and he would go back to it and he would pray fervently. Woke up every morning at 3 a.m. before day and pray till 7. In every city that he went to, they had mass conversion, mass salvation of souls. In fact, he got to a point where he said that when he's coming to a town, sometimes a whole city gets saved. All the beer joints closed down. No more business. Charles G. Finney. He was serious. And what he was doing this prayer was he was supplicating, making demands. Seems as if you are wrestling with God. But most of the time, you are actually wrestling with the situation and circumstances. One of those cities when he was praying, he said there were two people who refused to get saved. He called the people that were praying with him. He said, go and lock yourself inside the room and don't come out until those people give their lives. What were they battling with? The spirits that were restraining those people from giving their lives. Hallelujah. It wasn't a battle with God, it was a battle with the forces and circumstances. So when we're supplicating sometimes and we're not dealing with God, we're using God's power to handle situations and deal with opposition. And so it's not something that is done in 2 or 3 minutes most of the time. That's what that scripture says, that the army's heartfelt continued prayer, the righteous man does what? Makes tremendous power of God available. That's what? Dynamic. Dynamic is many-sided. It can solve many issues at once, that kind of prayer. So you have someone, let's say your spouse, misbehaving, and someone those who are close to us the most. It seems as though the ones were usually blind to spiritually as to the fact that this may not be ordinary. We are trying to get him to be spiritual by sending messages. He has many messages but he's not listening to them. He doesn't see the reason why he needs to go to church. You have argued. You have forgotten the fact that people's eyes can be blinded. You have argued with him. You have disturbed that. How would you pray? How would you read your Bible? Everything you're saying, the person can't even see it. And then you fight, and after you fight, you settle. And then you went for the next fight. Before you shall fight again. What are you trying to do? You are trying to handle in the flesh, or you should settle in the spirit. You know, I was excited about the particular member was a particular individual that I told him one or two things that she did about her husband. She told me that the husband wasn't spiritually as mother things like that. That she used to wake up at a particular time of the night. For some weeks, at a particular time, and for about 1 hour, she used this phrase, I used to dream. Maybe that's how I would dream this prayer. Because the time has to come, you have to stop talking and just arguing. And have to bring up your spiritual arsenal. Like Jacob here, the angel pronounced, you are a prince with God. You have power with God, and over men you have prevailed. You have power with God, and over men you have now what? That's what the angel said to men was giving him. So she woke up at that time of night, instead of hugging with the man, she would pray. It was when I just said one day, let's go to your church. No discussion soon. Let's go to your church. And has been going ever since. Wisdom. You want to turn the tide of things without doing anything about it. Elijah never appeared and just said, there won't be, no, before he said to you, you had gone on the mountain to go and do some work.
He now came and announced, you shall be bold and accept my word. People that see that they have done something where you can't see them. So they come up to announce what has been done in secret. That's what they've done. So there are some people in our life, it may be your spouse, it may be your brother, it may be your mom, it may be your dad. They are not yielding. They are not acting the way they are meant to as children of God. And you use words, you try to complain, you've argued, and you're not producing results because you have forgotten the fact that men cannot stand perfect and complete in all of God's will except somebody prays for them. Hallelujah. Yes, somebody prays for them. So it's only one that we say that nobody, you can't. It's not automatic. It's praying. Somebody has to be praying before you can see that kind of results. Hallelujah. Somebody has to pray before you can see that kind of results. And most of it is supplication. Again, it's honest, answered, and continued. Acts of God. Sure. I know another beautiful thing about it is that most of the prayers that we see in the book of Acts, one particular theme runs through all of them. That's the fact that the church prayed with one accord. That's one of the reasons why I love us coming together as a church to pray. There is no limit to how much you can get done when we come together as a church to pray. As a low limit. No limit to how much we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are God's governing body upon the earth. So in the book of Acts, we find that phrase many times with one accord. They were gathered with one accord. Acts 4. With one accord, they lifted their voice to God and prayed. The place shook where they were praying. And there was a manifestation of boldness. And they spoke word of God with boldness. Acts 5 verse 12, the same thing. Acts 1 verse 14, the same thing. They were with one accord. There was something about them coming together with one accord, which is with one mind, with one heart, with one mouth, they prayed towards something, and they got results. Acts 12. Now, by that time, the Lord became stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw, you see that? He pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of what? Unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four companions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth unto the people. Peter wasn't incarcerated for 2 days. Days of unleavened bread to Easter is 7 days. Days of unleavened bread to the time of Easter is actually what? Is it after Easter? That's about the period of 7 days. That was the plan. So what gave ever boldness is succeeded in being a leader in the church. They had first started with the deacon, Stephen. And they killed an apostle and he was. He now went to the most recognizable figure in the body, Peter. If they are succeeded in killing Peter, the church would have scattered. Because many people would have been what? Discouraged. That's why he starts saying things on Facebook. Who cannot die? Anybody can die. At any time. You don't know what they did that they not bring into your list. You don't know what God was trying to use you to do. And that's what Satan likes. That believers should cast off their faith. Because somebody that is a recognizable figure seems to be down. So when he saw, we arrested James, we beheaded him, nothing happened. Let's go further. Of course, you understand that Herod was acting under influence. So obviously, likely the church didn't do as much in time of James. You know, it's very easy. How do I know they may not have done as much? Well, if you look at the prayer they pray in Acts 4, look at Acts 4, we'll come back up. Let me show you something. Because I want you to see that the church grew when it comes to revelation knowledge. Acts 4, let's read from verse 23. Are we done? And they let go, they went to their own company. And the people that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they had had the lifted up their voice to God with one, and said, Lord our God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of the son of David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people might be made things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Jesus Christ. For of the truth against our only child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Aaron and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold the atrocities, and grant unto thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Notice they were praying for thy servants. Permit their phrase. Who are the servants? The apostles. Who was persecuted? The apostles. Who was affected? The new church. Who did the church pray for? The apostles.
because they assumed that the apostles were the only ones who should preach. That's the problem. So instead of praying for everyone who is a believer, they prayed for the apostles. Do you understand what they said? They were praying for grant unto thy servants. They said, grant unto all of us. Grant unto thy servants. That with all goodness of the world, speak to the world. By stretch of fingers to heal. And that sense that what has been worked in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if you now read and get to chapter 5, look at chapter 5 verse 12. Look at the answer to the prayer. And by the hands of the apostles, for many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Did you see that? Who did they pray for? The apostles. How was the prayer answered to the apostles? What were they going to pray for? The whole church. That signs and wonders emerges through every single one. So we see something that they grew in revelational knowledge concerning who they were in Christ. They didn't arrive there one day. But they got their growth. And so this time, Paul had done a brother already because Paul was still a terrorist. Because he saw Tartus. Up and down. So chapter 6, we now saw some deacons being appointed. Out of those deacons, several of them, two were standing, Philip and Stephen. You see that? We saw that not only were the apostles, this was now started doing signs and wonders and working miracles. Over a period of time. So, as at that time, the minute James was taken and beheaded, he gave error of not boldness. Nothing can happen. Let's try the other one. Let's go back to chapter 12 now. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. No prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And when Aaron would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of God came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell from his what? Eyes. So we notice that how the deliverance come, the prayer of the saints released angelic activity, or angelic assignment, in order for Peter to be delivered. The effectual fervent prayer of what? A righteous man makes what? Tremendous power of God available that is dynamic in its working or many sided. In this situation, the prayer releases the ministry of angels for Peter's deliverance. Now I want you something to happen. This is an important part to note. Let me jump all the way to let's just read from verse 8. And okay, verse 7. And behold, the angel of God came upon him, and a light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and the chains fell from his hands, and he said to him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals, and so he did, and he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know for surety, and the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the what? Expectation of the people of the Jews. So, Herod had the backing of the people. Let's put it this way. There was strong demonic manifestation behind Peter's imprisonment. Strong. You know you are in trouble if many people are wishing you to be dead. Because they have a will. People who are demonically motivated, and all of them are willing. And they can only think of only one thing. How you will die. So you understand that the church prayed for 7 days to change that sentence. To secure Peter's release. It had to be supernatural. Could God have done it? Yes. Will God have done it? No. What ensured that Peter was delivered? The prayer of the saints. That was why Paul said to us in Philippians 1:19, I know that this shall come to my salvation. That was salvation means deliverance. Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we pray, we release enough power to ensure people experience God's will in any area. Who's in the power? Through our prayer, we stop people from dying here prematurely. Through our prayer, we stop people from dying of sickness. Through our prayer, we help people to walk straight and complete in the will of God. Through our prayer. Because I know that this shall turn to my deliverance and my salvation through your prayer and the supply. So there's something about our prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ which effects results. James Wall put it, he said that effectual fervent prayer makes dynamic power, or power available that's dynamic in its working. Chapter 12, right, chapter 12, see something. Verse 12. But when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose son was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. This is the answer to their prayer that came down, okay? So they were sitting. So listen carefully. It's not prayer that you pray in which you are saying, oh, bless God. God has answered. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. No. We labor. We are coming on Saturday to labor. We labor. You don't say, that sister. I saw the club the other day. She was entering there. She has not come to church for 2 weeks. But you just called her a sister. A sister found in the wrong place. What is her problem? She doesn't know what she ought to know. She doesn't realize what she ought to realize. You know, there are many things she won't do if you just realize who you are. Many things you won't do. There are some fights you'll never be involved in since you realize who you are, that this is beneath me. But I don't like you to find you at the bus of fighting with the conductor, locking his shirt, if you realize who you really are. Don't like you to. So there are some things believers will never do if their eyes are open to see and to know who they are. It's very important. But look at what happened here. This is, we were praying, verse 18. And as Peter knocked the door at the gate, a damsel came to ask him, named what? Rebel. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She didn't see Peter. She heard Peter's voice. She believed it was Peter. And she was so excited, she went to go and tell those who were praying the old church that our prayer has been answered. God is great. Our prayer has been answered. Look at the rest of the church. And he said, not to her, thou art mad. You know why they are praying? This is people that are praying. People that are praying can't say you are mad. Because sometimes I think we have this mindset that the ancient was perfect. They were not. They grew. It's like, this is that one. The man, Capo Satya. They shot the pastor. You don't know, okay. Somebody else are praying. The answer to the prayer had come. Let me say what I'm about. Listen very carefully. It doesn't take faith to ask in supplication, but it takes faith to receive. Let me say that again. When it comes to supplication, it is supplication, it's not prayer of faith. It doesn't take faith to ask. It is you persistent, it is you continued, it is you heartfelt, it is you based on your desire, but it takes faith to receive the answer. Guess who received the answer? It wasn't them, it was Peter. But when the angel came and said that, Peter got up. That is the path that whoever is supplicating for you can do for you. The person can receive for you. You have to receive it. So, when we pray the prayer, will be power available to take care of any area, but you will have to do it. Hallelujah. So, the prayer that they prayed, who received the answer? Peter. When the angel came, he received the deliverance the angel brought by following the instruction of the angel. Obviously, they were not praying with super faith here. But when the answer, they say, no, no. Then, when she, look at what happened. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. They said it is his angel. So this is the church. They were superstitious. You must have seen this angel. You know the angel can look like him, representing him. Then look at what happened. But Peter continued knocking. It's like the open the door. It is me. Continue knocking. And when they had opened the door, they were what? As that's the final picture. They were not brave people. They were praying power. When the church is in the place praying, what are we releasing? Power. What is behind the power? One accord. If you say, Sister Yemi will not backslide. Sister Yemi will serve God's purposes all of this. Sister Yemi will walk in the full counsel of God. We are making power available. The only person that can believe that prayer is Sister Yemi. We are making power available. We are making it easier for Sister Yemi to walk in the will of God. Why? We are the church. Tremendous powers, they are what they are saying. And you say, this character, God will say, we are not but prosper. You have no choice but to prosper, but to succeed, but to make it, but to move ahead. We are making tremendous power available. All you need is the faith on your own part to receive it. We don't necessarily have to use faith. What are we missing? Power. Tremendous power. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So because among all those who were praying, it was only Rhoda who believed. No man just went to him. How did she believe? She didn't see Peter. She just heard Peter's voice. She must have believed. She must have believed. That was the means. Because she didn't see Peter. She was too excited. She forgot to open the door. She has to go and tell her. Can you imagine? The prayer has been answered already. And these are people praying for this. So the length of time they prayed was simply to typify to us that this is what it takes when it comes to supplication. It's not something you do 5 minutes and you run and go and take a cup of tea. It's not only you are sipping a cup. Sunday. Sometimes what you pray, you see there's an intensity about us. Because what we want to get accomplished, we mean business. This must be so. We must get results in this area. You know, time we are having issues. I'm trying to remember where I was 4 years ago. How many times when we came for a prayer meeting? We are having some issues with our women with miscarriages. It now became common. 1, 2, 3. We call the prayer meeting. No, that's the number. Something is wrong. And then we pray. And then we pray. And then we pray. And then we make decrees. And it stopped. Now, did God want those things? No. Can God do something about it? Yes. Can he do it without us praying? No. What did we do? We took God's power in place of prayer and we enforced a law. Our women give back with peace. We don't experience stillbirths. We don't experience miscarriages. Mother and child are well. It was a decree. It was a prayer meeting we had for that to happen. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that when it comes to supplicating, it's our desire. Say it's our desire. It's our desire that we're praying. We're praying. This is what we want to see. Our time is fast going, but I think I still need to open to that one. We must look at it. But when you start praying, there are also what you call burdens based on prayer. We pray. The interesting part is that when we started this meeting, we already prayed some. As we're led, Romans 8:26. The trusting part is that this is where I was supposed to start from today. The Lord is praised. My name is Jesus. Are you there? Likewise, the Spirit helped our own infirmities, but we know not what we should pray for, as we heard, but the Spirit Himself naked intercession for us with groanings which cannot be what? Uttered. Did you see that? Likewise, the Spirit also helped. That word helped seeks all together with us against. So I have a desire, I have something that's bothering me, something I want to pray for, and it requires supplication, which means earnest, heartfelt, and continued praying. It's not something that can be handled by prayer or faith. It's a situation that is pressing, and I desire a change in that situation. The Bible now says, beside the fact that I can pray with my understanding, with the little I know concerning that situation, it now says, but the Spirit Himself helped. The word help there means, it takes all together with me against whatever the situation is. It means the Spirit's input will be like a supernatural burden upon me to assist me in arriving at the answer faster and getting better results. Hallelujah. You've experienced, you've heard people hear that you having burdens to pray. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You hear people, when they are praying, it's going to start groaning. And some of us, sometimes if you are close to that person, what you can simply do is come around that person, kneel down with that person, sometimes make contact and help to lift that burden. Somebody says, what? The burden is like what you call a package of anointing or power that is meant to get that job done. The burden itself is an expression of the Spirit's desire, with your desire to produce results. So when you are groaning, it says with words that cannot be uttered in articulate speech, but they are words, they are groanings, they are yearnings, they are prompts on the inside. It's the Spirit's way, through your utterances, expressing His ability, His assistance that is up to put you over in that situation. Every single time prayer is done that way, and I mean every single time, you cannot forget results. As in, you cannot forget results. You cannot bear against God. The Spirit takes hold together with us against whatever it is. Where is the challenge? So something is persistent. Something is present. There's a situation that I remember years ago, again, when someone called me at my personal retreat that my daughter was in the hospital, comatose. That means she was lifeless. She wasn't responding to treatment. And that was the only child, because I didn't know how the child came. The child was a baby. I didn't know how she came. She was, my was actually a pastor. She was our secretary then. So I know how the child came. And she has not had any other child since that time. And then the only child that she had was in a terrible condition. So I said, pastor, something must happen to she mentioned the child. You know, I just cut off the phone. So I went back to you. And I went to go and pray. And I started supplicating. And I got into groaning in the place of prayer. And groaned and groaned and groaned. And at the end of that prayer session, I saw that they covered up the child. The child was dead. I continued. Cover what? I continued. Why? You were saying, listen carefully. The reason why you're saying no to short in place of prayer is because God also says no. I don't even understand. What you're seeing is not God telling you this is the final. It's not God telling you this is my will. And that's why you give up this prayer. It's God telling you this is what is happening. Continue praying. Oppress more. You are pressing more, you are the channel of God into that situation. We will pray more if we realize that we're God's channel into specific situations. We will pray more. Our attitude prayer will be different. Our commitment will be different. We won't be lackadaisical about it. If God wastes you money and tells you that three lives are depending on praying now, how would you pray? In 5 minutes, I say, you won't. If you need to put your feet in cold water, you will do it. If you need to kneel on cold stones, you will do it. Because you realize that some people's lives are dependent on my what? Praying. The Holy Ghost can't do without you. He takes all together with you. In the beginning, is this: you start something, he comes along to help. You start nothing, it doesn't help you with anything. That's what it means. Since you are not doing anything, you don't need help. You understand? If you are doing something, you need assistance. I mean, when you are doing nothing, what help do you need to do nothing? And somebody said, if you are not going anywhere, you can go on your own. When you know where you are going, you can invite us to come. When you are not going anywhere, you don't need escort. You can go by yourself. The same way, when you are doing something, you cannot ask for assistance. The Holy Ghost takes all together with us. It says, when he's doing that, what are the signs you see? It says, with words that cannot be expressed in that space. It says, groanings on the inside. The Spirit is taking all together with you. This, why am I thinking this way? So that when the sensations start coming, you will resist it. You will shy away from it. You will say, what is this? You have an intelligent response, which is, you continue those lives. And let me say this. I have discovered that people who are aloof for spiritual operations seldom experience the dependence of God. Let me say what I mean. And I'm going to stop now so we can pray. If we are rejoicing and people are shouting, you don't shout. People are laughing, you don't laugh. We are dancing, you are never dance. We are singing, you are doing something else. When it comes to these impressions by the Spirit, it will never come. And I need to be very plain with you. This kind of praying has delivered me as a pastor. Too many times I can remember. Too many times I can remember. In fact, I'm excited. There's a sign that's excited once that kind of praying starts coming out of me. But you don't just get there overnight. That you have been yielding to the same Spirit in many areas. That's why I don't understand believers who always wait for a feeling. We say laugh. You are waiting for, I'll soon get there. When the Spirit comes, when it just comes, you won't get there. Wait. Let's shout. All this shouting. Now the gentleman. All this shouting that time. You are losing out. Because the very way you're meant to operate by yielding to the Spirit in those things. That's why you may be surprised to see that Moses, let us lift up holy hands is yielded to the Spirit. Let us sing, begin to speak. Let's speak in tongues, begin to speak. If you don't learn those basic things, you think that things won't come. When the Spirit wants to come in, the same person that you are meant to have been relating with in those areas, now wants to give you something stronger, a burden that can save your life, save you from difficult situations, rescue you from wrong decisions, probably in the next few days, is now about to give you a burden, is about to go through all chances to you. Will you be able to you?
No.
Because you're unfamiliar with those things. You're familiar with those things. Hallelujah. You're familiar with those things. So in the place of prayer, one of the strongest things of the Spirit of God is that the breathing will come. The help and the assistance of the Spirit will come out with groanings which cannot be uttered without Holy Spirit. He says, likewise, or in the same way the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we don't know what we should pray. That's the infirmity. We don't know always have the specific details about the situation, but we know that prayer needs to be made. He now says, but the Spirit himself maketh us with what? Groanings which will not come out in articulate speech. It won't come out that way. It will come out differently. So that besides, there will be groanings. John chapter 11, the Bible says that when the people wept because Lazarus was dead, when Mary went out, Jesus groaned in the Spirit. The body came upon him. He says, where have you laid him? That was the adaptation of the Spirit. By the time he got to the room, he said that, Father, I thank you because you have had him. When he got Father here, when he groaned, you know, the way you recorded that, Jesus groaned in the Spirit, and you were thinking that, that was it. No, just so he groaned, he didn't try to groan. That means that Jesus used the Spirit to accomplish Jesus in that particular situation. Because if you all be already, I mean, look at what he was saying. If you had been here, my brother would have died. What are you now saying? You came too late. That's what you're saying. You came too late. Then you say that. Have I not told that was in my life? You, your brother, is already asleep. Yet he will rise again. You know what he said? Yes, I know. I know you rise at the last day. Who's talking to you about last day? So when Jesus groaned, there were things he was dealing with in that place of prayer by the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, I have the same Spirit, the same ability, life within me. I pray and I get results. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to pray tonight. Again, let there be attitude to your prayer. Attitude says that it is honest actions. It is actions. It is actions. We're praying that people should stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. And we're praying for fellow believers. We're praying for those who don't see church regularly. We're praying for those who are not walking straight in the work of God. We're praying for people who are discouraged, who are not consistent. What, how are we praying that they will stand what? Perfect and complete in all of the will of God. And then Ephesians 3:14. Look at Ephesians 3:14. Let's start to our feet. Ephesians 3:14. As a team. Ephesians 3:14, see what it says. For this cause I call the prince of Jesus Christ. No. 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees and fall upon Jesus Christ. Next verse. I will do a family name, but not his name, that he will grant you, according to what? The riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you being rooted and gathered in love may be able to what? Comprehend. So we're praying for comprehension for them. We're praying they will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Every single say this assembly. If you know specific individuals in particular, who you know that their work cannot be smooth and straight, you mention their name in place of prayer as you supplicate for them. We're doing a godly service, a godly work, as you supplicate for them. Of course, you're also praying for yourself also. In the name of, let's pray in the name of Lord Jesus. Hello, Gunde, Eke Supra Katia, Eku Kla, Gobi Teke Ligra, Eke Supra Katia, Eke Vanida. Just briefly, we're going to pray 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2, Bible says, I wish above all things. That also means, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul does what? Prosper. And what do you see what it commands? That you may prosper and be. The word be means abide in a state of perpetual health, even as your soul prospers. Soul prosperity simply means your soul, your mind, is inundated with truths. Inundated with truths. So it's actually a prayer for revelation also, then for a particular condition, which is yours in Christ, to be manifest. You know, there are plans, there are purposes in God's heart for every one of us in this forthcoming season. So it's not a prayer you pray once and say, I'm not prospering. No. There's another phase. There's something else to do. There's another season coming around. And that thing, new purposes, is part of what we do in our work with God. Bringing forth, what's the next thing that Father has on his heart for me? So we pray that you will prosper and be one in health, even as your soul. Let's pray. Lakupa Yeshno, Yeshubia, Elatimbi. Thank you for your leading, your prompting, your direction. Thank you for your supernatural guidance. Thank you for marvelous answers. Thank you for awesome testimonies. Thank you for praises that continuously arise in this season. We exalt you, for we receive the lives of men changed. We receive the work of men altered for good. Men walking in the fullness of your plan, your counsel, bringing forth supernatural results, betting new things with ease. We give you praise as an assembly, as a people. We exalt you. We declare that the name of Jesus is exalted. In our midst, continually your word is producing supernatural results, and all the saints are constantly testifying. We give praise and honor to you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.